us and look up to heaven, to the earth, to the sea, and even to ourselves in the morning, and see your power and the imprints of your divine hand in all creation together speaks. May you open our ears to hear your blessed words of life, speaking to us, for us, and through us unto all. And may you open our hearts and cleanse it from every stain and every perplexity of sin, that we may receive your living words of life as seeds dropping on good soil to bring about the fruits of righteousness in season. May you protect us today and every day from all temptation and from all the snares of the fowl. And may you continue to instruct us in the ways of heaven and grant us your power to know and to do your blessed goodwill and pleasure in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let us together open Romans chapter 12. We're going to be continuing to examine this wonderful topic. And in review, let us remember why we exist. We exist today because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, made the choice and decision to come to this planet and to wear our own human sinful nature upon him, to be tempted in all things by Satan as we are, yet without sin, but victorious over every sin. He fully understands our human needs, our human wants, our human struggle and nature, and he understands why we sin. And he had to bear our sin upon him and the suffering of sin that no human being can ever endure. He have endured it all, and trust me, regardless of how many words I can use, it's incomprehensible the suffering that Jesus have gone through. No, when I got stuck with the needle a little bit when I was sewing my pants, it hurts. It hurts, and I had to hold my hand and get the blood out and go and wash it and wait it a little bit. And it is just a little needle.
Just a little needle.
Don't know how the Blessed Savior endure the nails going through his hands and his feet, and then a spear going through his sides. And this is the physical pain. More than that was the great spiritual, emotional pain when Jesus was praying in Gethsemane. Did you ever experience the power of prayer? Did you ever feel such a burden on your heart for your own sins or for the sins of your family and others that you sweat blood?
Wow.
I don't know. It's just incomprehensible. Incomprehensible. And medical science support that. A person can bleed, sweat, if he reach a various state of grief.
Wow.
It's amazing. It's amazing. I don't know. Jesus came to bear it all, that through him we can be delivered from that suffering that can crush us at any time. A Savior was born, and he encouraged us to accept his complete love and redeeming grace every day, and to be born of the water and of the Spirit. The cleansing of our heart and mind and soul is healthy every morning. Every morning, not once in a lifetime. That concept, once saved, always saved, I don't know. It's not really true. But once saved, every day, forever saved. Because we are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb every day, and because we are refilled again by the Holy Spirit every day. If the Holy Spirit take over our heart and mind and body and soul, he will fight our every battle and secure our own salvation and life eternal. In addition to that, he saves us from great many sufferings that we cannot endure, just because we have trusted him over it. Next slide, please. And we have seen the signs that are imminent when we are really born again. Every morning we feel the release of the great burdens of our sins, that is the guilt, shame, the pain, the suffering, the frustration, all of the fears that come with our sins began to subside. And they give way to peace. My peace I give unto you. But if we take those loads with us every day, they get heavier until they crush us. And then it does not give us an abundant life. It gives us quite a miserable life. Even if we accomplish things on earth, we feel so depressed. Because we are carrying the weight of sin within. And all the complication that comes with it. And Jesus came to forgive and then to heal from this depressive episode. Many people are taking medicine for depression unnecessarily. Why? They really do not want to give the Holy Spirit a chance. That is it. I see it with young people. 45% of young people are clinically depressed. And of course, great many adults are very depressed. Mm-hmm. And now medicine is given on every side. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that God can use medicine to help some, but trust me, it does not bring about that release. And medicine has side effects. Mm-hmm. Doctors have to check your blood every once in a while to make sure that it's not affecting other parts of your body. But healing is very sure when the Holy Spirit enters the heart and the mind and the body. Who created the body?
God did.
The Lord Jesus. Doesn't he know why you have chemical imbalance?
He knows everything.
Doesn't he know what is going on in your body? And doesn't he have the power to touch and to hear?
Oh, yes, he does.
We have seen that in the Bible. Jesus forgives. Jesus heals.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus transforms lives every day. And we become new creatures every day through the grace and love and rich mercies of Christ and through the working power of the Holy Spirit. As we struggle now, we struggle forward. We don't struggle backward. We struggle forward looking unto Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. He is our captain who will steer our vessels through all the stormy seas. And this is very, very true. And I see that happen in your life. Just make sure that Jesus is Lord every day. Next slide, please. And then we have talked about the promised gifts that God gives to his children. We are ill-equipped, right? We are all lovesick. And all of our own sins because we are lovesick. And we can take that heart that is sick to Jesus, the lover of our soul, to grant us his love. God is love. That is the love that we really desperately need. But we learn to go about it in all the worldly, sinful way. Well, Jesus came, as he said, I came to seek and to save the lost. But he cannot do it by force. We have to constantly and daily, even when we sin, we go to him and said, we can never trust but your love to prevail in us, for us, and through us, unto all. So the Holy Spirit comes and equip us and give us the tools to fight and the gifts to retain God's love in our hearts. It's amazing. There are no words to describe that. It's a mystery how the Holy Spirit comes in and give us all the blessed gifts of life. As Jesus said, that he came to give us life. And more abundantly, even on a cursed earth. And it is true. It's happening to us. It happened to many people. But we have to give the Holy Spirit the full control every day to cleanse and to refill anew. And as we use these gifts properly, as we use these gifts through the love of God in us, not the love of money, not the love of self, not the love of recognition. This is the sick love. Did you get that?
Yes.
We don't want to use the spiritual gift to get money or to get recognition or to love ourselves so much unto death.
Mm-hmm.
No. Let the Holy Spirit give you all good gifts. You will lack nothing.
recognition you will get. The Bible called that honor.
That's right.
And you're not going to be seeking after it because it's not going to make any difference. When you have the Holy Spirit inside your heart, you're honored. You are fully fulfilled. You don't need someone else to make you feel good about yourself. Because you are not lovesick. You have the love of God in your heart. And you have the Holy Spirit in your heart. The Holy Spirit by whom we are born again every day to worship bestows upon us and equips us with divine gifts. Everything that we need. And we have examined many of these gifts. We began with 1 Corinthians 12, what gifts and how they work. And there are so many of them, right? Can you name some of them?
Exhortation.
Very good, exhortation. I'm going to be talking about this maybe a little bit today and later on. Exhortation means the gift of encouragement.
Yeah. Preaching.
The gift of preaching.
Teaching. Interpretation.
Interpretation of tongues.
Administration.
Healing.
Prophecies.
Faith. Mercy. It's a gift.
Yeah.
Compassion. It's a gift. Right? And then the power behind all of this. The gift of knowledge. And the gift of wisdom. We cannot get in any college and no degree can afford us that. You know, they don't offer any course, say, the course of wisdom.
That's impossible.
Yes. Yeah, takes a lifetime. And your life and your decision will determine whether you got it or not. And that can be attained through the work of the Holy Spirit in all of us. So we talked about the gifts and how they work. Okay? And last week we talked about what purpose do they serve? What are the purposes of all of these gifts? From last week's sermon, Ephesians chapter 4. As Eric said today, you know the pastor is going to ask you sometime. You said it was a wonderful, powerful sermon last week. If you don't know what purpose your gifts serve, I don't know if you are using them right. Okay, how is that? That's very correct.
Well, it's service to him, you're honoring him, and you're serving your fellow.
Good. Peter is getting there. That's what the Apostle Paul say. Okay? It is overall, he's right. Yes.
Edification. That's what I was getting ready to say.
Edification.
That's what I was getting ready to say.
That is the constant change of our character. It says for the work of the ministry. Mm-hmm. Until we all reach unto him in all things who is the head, Christ Jesus. All of these spiritual gifts is designed to secure our salvation, to bring salvation to great many others, and to help us all and the body of Christ grow into the righteous traits of character of Jesus Christ the Lord until the day of his appearing. All through the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Because, you know, when people talk about us sometimes, say, you know, Peter is really a character. They can mean that in good way.
Right.
And they can mean that in bad way.
Right.
It depends on where the heart is and what their goal are.
That's true.
Right? And when I say, we have a wonderful character, what am I talking about? I'm talking about the character of Christ.
He has a nice nature.
Yes. We all should be reflecting the character of Jesus in us. Now, we talked about, in the last 3 weeks, about the gifts, what are they, how they work, and what purpose do they serve. Remember, when we really invest all of these gifts, as Peter said, in the love and the glory and honor of our God, the Creator, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the Bible said, we will lack nothing. Mm-hmm. Isn't that something? People go and spin their wheels every day to get something they think they need. God's people who have the gift of the Holy Spirit will lack nothing. And whatever they do not have and whatever they have all things shall work together for their good. Therefore, there is no distress about the things they don't have. There is no fear. There is no frustration. There is no hurt feelings that can hold them hostage, because they deal with the issue of sin every day. They are released and relieved, and they are always filled and fulfilled. Today, we will be given the invitation now to receive these gifts. If you know what they are, and if you know how they work, and what purpose they serve, and if you desire that, the Holy Spirit will be giving us the invitation in Romans chapter 12. So open that chapter together that we may examine it. Here, the Holy Spirit, through his servant Paul, is really urging the church to accept the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but he is giving some admonitions. Admonitions, that is, instructions and warnings. He gives us the invitation in the first two verses. So let us read them together, and let us try to understand and discern what the Holy Spirit is inviting us to do today and every day regarding those gifts, because all of us have gifts very different from one another. For our own good, the good of the family, the good of the church, and the good of the world, the salvation of every soul, and the blessing of our life. So here is what Paul is urging us to do. He said, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." You know, a dead sacrifice is no good. When you get a lamb and you slaughter the lamb, it doesn't exist anymore. People kill the lamb, offer the lamb, eat the lamb, done. The lamb is no longer existing. And many Christians are spiritually living dead. Do you know why they are living dead? It's like Dead Sea. They take, they don't give. And when you do not use the gifts God has given you, they die. And the Apostle Paul here, present yourself a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. So, the gifts God has given you is yours for your blessing. You are not just to keep them yourself. You are to reflect all of these gifts in the workplace that you are. If you are given the gift of knowledge and the gift of wisdom and the gift of mercy, and if you share this in your workplace like Daniel did, what will your employer and co-worker see? The gifts of God that no education in college can give. You know, Nebuchadnezzar recognized that Daniel was wiser than all of his wise men. How did he know that? In the knowledge and in the decision making of Daniel. Daniel spared Babylon great pain. Daniel saved Nebuchadnezzar from great suffering and ridicule, even though he was a heathen king. And yet, Nebuchadnezzar and Cyrus and Darius, after him, all of them honored Daniel and wanted Daniel to be the head of all of the kingdom, right underneath them. Why? Because he exercised the gifts of the Spirit in his employment place. You think Daniel was really working his resume up to the second most powerful position in Babylon? No. You don't need to. You see, he was a slave. He was so content and happy to worship and to love his God and to live every gift that the Holy Spirit has given to him every day. and God lifted him up. You know, no one endowed by the Holy Spirit will really seek high positions. Because of what? They know the responsibility it entails. But they know that if God appointed them, no power can disappoint them. And you see that also in the life of Joseph. That is why God has given us the gift, that the world may see the power of His love in us, for us, and through us unto all, and the gifts of the Spirit working signs, wonders, miracles of healings. Daniel in the lion's den. The Bible didn't say that when we become holy, devoted Christ, nothing bad is going to happen to us. He said that you will have tribulations, but trust me, I have overcome all of that. Your victory is sure. Allow me to take you through ups and downs, and trust me every day, as you trust me every day and be born again and again of the water and of the Spirit. I will do everything that you can never imagine. At work, in your school, your home, in your neighborhood, every place God places you, if you think every morning why you're there, you will have a blessed day. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
If you go worrying about, I have to do this, and I have to do that, and I have to do this, and I have to do that, your mind is in the wrong place. Mm-hmm. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who gave me strength. And when you do all things to the glory of God, God will be glorified in your life. And the Bible said that everything your hand touches will be blessed. That is the reason why God wants to give us the gifts. And Apostle Paul is saying, present yourself a living sacrifice. Something that people can hear. Something that people can see. Something that people can touch. In a way that you can really reach and touch their lives in so many different ways through the work of the Holy Spirit in you. Present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, as a reasonable service unto God. You know, it is kind of ironic that we can go to work and work 8 hours and sometimes 10 and 12 hours, very dedicated to our employer. Do you know that our life can be extended and we can be richly blessed if in whatsoever we do it to the glory of God. Other people who do not believe and don't have the Holy Spirit will do the same and have strokes and heart attacks and lots of sickness and immune system down, and they go to home and they cannot complete work and it's a mess. While you are protected, just as Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So the Apostle Paul is saying, if you want those gifts, you better be prepared every day with joy in your heart to say, here I am, Lord, send me. So that is the first thing. Second verse, he said, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's a problem here. That is really a problem for many Christians. You know, many Christians, they hear the word of God, they see how reasonable it is and how true it is, and God is over all, and we need to be born again every day, and how can I live without the gifts of the Spirit, and they pray for it. But once they leave home, something else happens. They have a difficult time remembering all of this. And then when they come home, they are so tired. The Bible is saying, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, TV in itself is not a problem. It's how to use the TV is the problem. And many Christians cannot just come home. It says, be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What you need is to be refilled by the power of the Holy Spirit. To be revived again. And many people just watch some kind of romantic movie or some kind of, you know, that is temporal. It really does not change the state of your heart. It makes it worse. There is a time for everything under the sun. But if you feel so tired and so depressed, what you need, if you want to use the TV, there are lots of wonderful things that can draw you very close to God. Just leave the things that will dim your spirit. Okay? You need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God in your life. Remember I said yesterday in Bible study and today, all of our problems and our needs because we are what? Love sick. Our heart is very sick for love. And that love is the love of God. But we learn it since we were babies and children in the home. Everywhere we've gone, and through Hollywood, and through our classmates in school, and through our co-workers and friends, even relatives and family members. How to find it in all the garbage bins. Isn't that true? And it's quite sad. As I said, in a local school, a young lady, 13 years old, lonely. As I spoke to Andrew about it, seemed that no one wants to befriend her. And therefore, some kids took advantage of her lovesick heart. And they told her to get attention, just flash and expose your body.
What?
And she did. That's quite sad, isn't it? But that is happening every day to millions of children, not just in this country, but all over the world. Love sick. We want to feel loved. We want to feel accepted. We want to feel respected. We want to feel important, approved of. And there is the heavenly way to receive the love of God that can make us whole. Or we can yield into temptation and fall between the cracks and listen to the garbage knowledge of the world to become something that we never wanted to be. But that is the way, the reason Jesus came, to save us from that condition of sin, from that lovesick position, and to give us his love only if we choose it. What you put in is what you get out. Now, Apostle Paul here, you need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How are you renewing your mind? Either with the knowledge of life or with the knowledge of this world. So really, for these gifts to grow and multiply and work for you and work for others, exceeding rich and weight of glory, you got to mature them and nourish them the right way. The right way. I have seen wonderful people who had some great gifts in different churches, and suddenly the heart switched. Because it was renewed and transformed every day with the wrong knowledge and the wrong tools of this world. They left the church. And some ended up in major crisis. It is not because God punished them.
No, he doesn't.
They chose to forsake the ways of life and blessing and to seek the ways of this world. And I tell you, the ways of the world can be very powerful and very captivating. So let us look at the next admonition and warning. Here it is. It is very, very important to know that when God gives you a wonderful gift. Listen to verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Put your ego aside. This is not your gift. It is God's gift in you. Don't try to think because you have a gift somehow you are better than other people. You are blessed by Jesus, but you are not better than anybody. Okay? Because everyone is lovesick. Here is the key. Everyone is lovesick on this earth, including all Christians. It is not lovesickness that is the problem. We are born with this, unfortunately, to this planet. It is not lovesickness that is the problem. It is how equipped or ill-equipped we are to deal with it. We can be very ill-equipped by all the mechanisms that the world affords, and it makes us more sick until we look sick and we behave sick and everyone tells us we are quite sick. And we heard that term, oh, that is sick. Or we can be well-equipped by the power of the Holy Spirit and recognize that we are not any different from anybody else, but it is through the grace of God that we have learned to be born again every day of the cleansing power of Calvary for forgiveness of sin and to be refilled and renewed anew by the power of the Holy Spirit and to yield our heart and mind and body, our love, our will, our life, our purpose to the molding power of the Holy Spirit to grant us His gift and to equip us to use it for the honor and glory of God, that is the salvation of our souls, our families, and others. That is the only difference between us and those who do not believe. It's not because we are not lovesick, we are lovesick. But we are better equipped through the work of the Holy Spirit to avert great many crises that other people go through, and to avoid great many suffering that other people go through. And we are much better equipped to attain unto life eternal. And that's a choice. But because of that, we should always be careful not to think that when God found me, He really found something. And unfortunately, many Christians are behaving this way. That somehow, because they have a special gift, whatever it may be. And as the Bible told, that's why I went through the other evidence of these gifts first. That not because I'm a preacher and I'm a pastor and everyone sees and hears from me more than he sees and hears other, that somehow I am more important than the least of you. That's not true. It's not true. God fashioned His church after His own body. And He called the church what? The body of Christ. And the Apostle Paul, by the power of the Holy Spirit, told us that there is no such a thing as a member in the body somehow much more important than the other member. Okay? That if a member suffers, the whole body feels it. Now, the pancreas is such a very small organ. Right? The pancreas. What happened if it became malfunction?
It affects the liver and the kidney.
Very good. Here, there goes the irregularity of the sugar in the body. Your body now cannot handle sugar in any way, and the whole body goes into irregularity, and sugar is responsible for energy, and also the pituitary gland is affected by amount of insulin in the body, and if the pituitary gland is out, all of your hormones are out of whack, your mind, your blood pressure, everything is out of control because of one small little member of the body is sick. That's why the least of any gifts in the church are as precious as the great gift that anyone possesses in the church. You know, sometimes there were some elderly ladies in the church who were called the Dorcas ladies. They only had the gift of mercy. Their job was always like the unknown soldiers. They come during the week, they go to the room there, and they wash clothing, and they bake bread and cookies and things like that to give it to the poor. Are they less important than the pastor?
No, they're not.
They are expressing the love of God to many people who need it in such a more tangible way, more than the pastor does. And that's why the Bible said, don't think that your gift is somehow much more important than anybody's else. That should not be your goal. But you need to prove that it is a powerful gift as you allow the Holy Spirit to use it for the blessings of great many hearts on this world. Verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. I think it's wonderful. You know, for me, it's a great comfort. I don't have many of the gifts. I have some gifts. Thank God for that. But you know, I am so grateful that when I need some knowledge of the business world, I can call Peter. That's where he is. He's dealing with that day in and day out. He's much more aware of all things that is going around in the world. I am not there. And I thank God that there is a member in the body of Christ who may have some knowledge to assist me. And he did in the past many times. You know, when I came yesterday to church, the lock down there at the post box here is jammed. And the pastor of New Life was here, and we talked about it a little bit, and suddenly the Lord reminded me that we have someone in our congregation who's a locksmith. You know, immediately I looked to the body of Christ, who can help us with this problem? And I told her, you know, we have a very skilled brother in our congregation who is working for Alameda County. If he can fix the locks in the jails, I think he can help us with that little thing. And immediately she said, you know, why don't you go ahead and let him fix it and send us a bill? I said, I don't think we're going to send you a bill. We are the same body of Christ. We are the same body of Christ. I'm going to talk to Eric. If he can fix it, he'll be happy to do it. Isn't that a joy? Mm-hmm. Isn't that a joy that you don't have the distress? Now imagine, I don't know Eric. Now I have to pray a lot for the Lord to provide the money and to send me to someone I do not know. Mm-hmm. I have to buy those services.
Right.
And I don't know whether the individual is a believer or not. More distressful, isn't it? So that is how the body works. They care for one another. They love one another. They exhort and encourage one another. And they show honor and love and respect for one another, knowing that all of us are what? Lovesick. And all of us have grasped the love of Jesus, and all of us are blessed by the same Holy Spirit as one body of Christ for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ, until we all grow unto Him in all things, who is the head, Christ Jesus the Lord. And verse 6 now is telling us, now you have gifts. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, with a prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Okay? This means God has given you a gift. Use it for the blessings of others and for the blessings of the work of Christ. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. This means service. And I've known so many people who would go to church a week. They are not teachers. They are not preachers. And they don't have the gift of prophecy. They don't have the gift of tongues. Or the interpretation of tongues. But you know, they know how to clean the carpets in the church.
That's important.
And I have known these people who come during the week where no one is watching. Vacuum. Mm-hmm. Clean the bathrooms. Put a nail to something that is loose. That is ministry. That is service. You know, always come and take it for granted that we, every time we come, the sanctuary is nice and clean and tidy. Spend time thanking God. I know the gentleman and his wife and child who come and clean the sanctuary every week. Give thanks to the least of these members of Christ's body. They are not part of missions of compassion, but they are part of the body of Christ. And they have blessed us, even though they don't worship with us in the same hour. Ask God to bless and bless their gifts as well. Verse 8, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. You know, this is such a powerful gift that I think most church members should have. We are so lovesick that we are so greedy not to take the time to say thank you to someone who used his or her gift to bless us. Exhortation is to encourage others. So really, I truly appreciate what you're doing. Guess what's happening when you say that? When you tell someone, I really appreciate what you're doing, several things happen. They feel that God is in them, using them. That's encouraging. Secondly, they feel, wow, even in my struggle as a human being, the Holy Spirit still can able to use me. I want to give more of myself to reach much more people. Encouragement. All of us need encouragement, but we don't do it enough. We keep it to ourselves. Why? Because of fears. If I encourage someone who is doing good, they're going to get better than me.
That's crazy.
You know, we say it is crazy, but that's what exists in God's church today. Always afraid that someone is going to take something from me. First of all, can anyone steal my gift?
No.
Why not?
Because God will allow them. It's like that sermon you gave us about the demons.
Very good. Very good. It's in the Bible. The book of Acts, chapter 19. If you try to assume a gift that is not yours, Satan will enter you. And you will pay severe consequences for it because it's a precious gift of God, the Holy Spirit. It's not even mine to give or to dispose of. Our job is to encourage. And when we encourage, we focus on the gifts God has given us. And when we use it, it flourishes. You know, the gifts of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, bring about the fruits of the Spirit. And what are the fruits of the Spirit?
Love,
joy,
peace,
love,
long-suffering,
meekness, patience,
bitterness.
You know, yes, all of the things that we desire to satisfy the longing of our hearts, all of this precious outcome is found in the utilization of the gifts of the Spirit. So if you focus on the gifts God has given you. You know, if I went around privately and say, Sandra, I really appreciate the verses you read in the Bible this morning and the song you have chosen. And I want to share with you how that touched really my life today. If I spend that 2 or 3 minutes to thank Sandra for using her gifts, how will she respond back?
She'll be very appreciative.
She will be very appreciative. I have become someone important to her. Her love for me will naturally increase. And she would love to give of herself even the more.
She looks forward to next time.
Now, I'm not doing that because I want Sandra to love me more, acknowledge me more. I am doing that because I am really blessed that she yielded her heart and mind and body and soul to the Holy Spirit, who have used her to give me a message today I need. Onward, Christian soldiers. You know, it's amazing that sometime during the week, I hear those songs through family radio, or I hear it in my home. Guess whom I'm thinking of? The individual who elected the song. And I do, even though you don't hear that, I do spend a moment or two and say, Lord, I really thank you for Sandra, or thank you for Bean. Now I see why you give them the song on Saturday. You know I will need it in the middle of the week. May you bless the heart and mind and soul in that very hour today. It's amazing how the body of Christ works, isn't it? So the gift of exhortation is very important. You know, if you want the best out of your employees, and actually, if you want the best out of your employer, If you want the best out of your teachers, if you want the best out of your fellow students, if you want the best out of your brothers and sisters in the church and out of your pastor and out of everyone in your family, go to them and tell them in all earnest and truth what you appreciate about them. Mm-hmm. You know, I have done very well in college. Not because I was smarter than any of the students there. Mm. It's not true. I have learned that early on. You know, back home in Egypt, we learned that when in elementary. Mm. That those who teach you a letter, you become unto them a servant. Mm. You know that letter, in another letter, teach you how to speak. And if you can speak, you can communicate your way through life.
That's true.
You know, in college, I didn't know whether my professors were believers or non-believers, and I did not care about it. When they teach me something that I didn't know, I'm excited about it. And every once in a while before I leave class, I would go to the professor and tell him or her, you know, I really appreciate that. I learned today how to put this knowledge really into work. I'm very thankful for the example you gave. Mm-hmm. You know, we have many students in class, at least 35 in every class. It impresses me that they know my name.
Yeah, it's supposed to.
They know me by name. And you know, sometimes I don't understand something, I would go and say, expect me to come to your office during your office hour. I do have a question. And you know, I often heard an answer such as, I look forward with joy to see you. It's always good to have you in the office. Why are they saying that?
You seem interested in learning.
Exhortation. I am encouraging them. I am thanking God for the gift they have. And I am encouraging them to know that they are teaching me something important. And now that is helping them recognize how to be more effective teachers. Now, when I go to their office, they were very kind to me every once in a while. Because I always ask the question, you know, we are studying about 5 chapters, professors. And lots of equation there, and lots of information. And a test is coming. Even 100% does not really tell that I know 100% of the material. But if I am to master the exam, where should I focus my studies? And they were always kind to tell me where to focus my studies. Mm-hmm. And that is why and how I got straight A's. Not because I was any smarter, but perhaps because I exercised the simple gifts of the Spirit. It was not manipulating the teachers, because sometimes I got a C.
Right.
And other people got A's. But listen to this. This is amazing. You learn a lot when you encourage people and appreciate the gifts they have. You learn a lot about life, and God gives you peace. I have studied, as the professor said, focus on this. And I focus on this. And I pulled a C plus. And other people got A's. And I shook my head and I said, did Professor so-and-so deceive me? And I would go back to the office and I would say, where did I go wrong? I studied what you had told me to study. Where did I go wrong so I can prepare better for the next test? And here's what I heard from one of the professors. I'm showing you what one gift of exhortation can really bless. How can one gift exercise can really bless you? And here's what the professor said. He said, Mikhail, that's how he called me, Mikhail, you have done very well. Those who got A's have my test from the previous quarter. And they are passing it to each other, and I know that. You have earned your knowledge. They did not. Just keep doing what you're doing and don't worry about the grade. And I learned the important lesson. Of course, when I left the office, I said, all right, they cheated and they got an A.
I
studied very hard and I got a C+. And, you know,
so
listen to this. I tried to study with these guys for the next test, and they wouldn't let me. I was trying to get with them together to study for the final. He said, he told me, you got my permission. If you want to study with them, I'm not going to consider you cheating because you're learning. Mm-hmm. But my advice is, don't. So I asked him, I said no. And I went and I took my final. And about 4 days later, I went to look at the final grade. There were two A's in the class. And there were two B's in the class. And lots of C's and D's because the final was 30% of the grade. And he changed the finals on all of them. They studied the wrong old final. But he told me to focus on these areas. All of this because of the gift of exhortation. Just go sincerely and show appreciation. It can only come back to you in plenty. Jesus said that. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Great measure and pressed down shall men give unto your bosom. It's amazing. You can get an A in class. It does not mean you're wise. Wisdom is accepting the knowledge of God, the spiritual gift of the Spirit, and put them into work for you, for your family, for the church, and for others. It's ironic that the following quarter, many of these guys wanted to study with me. And I told them, you may, but let me tell you something. I don't have any tests. I also told them how I study. Mm-hmm. I said, there's nothing really for me to give you. Just go to the professor mm-hmm. and tell them how to study for the test. Mm-hmm. That's how I studied. But I have tests. So I was able to pass, use my gift in the proper way, and also enable them to exercise the same gift. Mm-hmm. You receive, you give, and you receive again. The next verse in the Bible that we need to examine is verse 8. He that exhorteth on exhortation, and he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. You know, it shows us the gift, and it shows us how to use the gift. You got to do it with a loving, cheerful, thankful heart. Not a grudging spirit. Mm-hmm. Not a grudging spirit. God has given you money and wealth because of your labor. When you give back to his work or to the poor, give it with cheerfulness. Not, have to think how many things I can do with this money. It's a grudging spirit. The Bible said, he that gives sparingly will also receive sparingly. But he that give bountifully with cheerfulness shall also receive bountifully, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Whatever your gift may be, you are not doing it to manipulate somebody. You are not doing it to get something back in return. You are doing it because you have received much more abundantly of the gifts of Christ, and you love to give back because the more you invest in the ministry, in the edification of the body of Christ, you are actually investing in your own today and in your own tomorrow. That is the fact. You're investing in your own life. If you do it so cheerfully, God will bless your heart and mind and body. Your emotions will not be as troubled as many people in this earth. You know, many people in this earth, if you take from them a 50 cents or a dollar, they can fight you all the way to the ground. But I know many dedicated Christians who love the Lord, who give with the heart, with cheerfulness, much more than that. And they don't fight over it. Because God keep adding. He keep adding. That's his promise. That your treasury and your storehouses will be filled with plenty. It's a very true promise. If you use the gift of the Spirit, whether it's teaching or preaching, or whatever it may be. It can only increase. You use one talent correct, God gives you two. You use two faithfully and cheerfully, God gives you four. I think it is justice. And then he said, if I give you one, and you become so sick, so lovesick, you love yourself so much, and you love money so much, and you love the world so much, he will take it from you. And he will give it to the one who have ten. That's what Jesus said. You can't use it, you will lose it. But if you use it, you will receive it much more abundantly. I'm going to conclude with verse 9 today, because it is loaded with some important information. It's a wonderful admonition that says, let love be without dissimulation.
What does dissimulation mean?
Hypocrisy. Let love be without dissimulation. Hypocrisy.
Okay.
This means partiality is part of it. Unsincere love. It is love sick. Did you hear that?
Well, you can't have unsincere love.
Many people do.
But you don't have love then.
Absolutely. You have the love of self. That you are able to go to B or Esther or anybody to tell them, oh, how much I appreciate you, because you really have an ulterior motive that is not godly. Mm. Or you go and do an act of mercy because you want something bigger. And I have seen that. I have seen people in the church going to seniors in their home and bringing them dinner. I think that was beautiful. That's an exercise of the gift of mercy from the outside. But their goal was to convince them eventually to give them part of the will.
Wow.
Yeah? And I know people who've done that and succeeded in doing that until the person deceased, and they got the home and they got the money.
Oh,
and 2 years later, the state of California caught up with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very sad. Mm-hmm. Very, very sad, because I was involved and I had to visit them and I have to go here and there to help them out of that condition. So the Bible said, let this love for one another be without attachments. You love because God loves you. You encourage because you are encouraged. You share the word of God because you are so blessed to have it. You give your tithe and your offering because God truly kept his promise. And you are so richly blessed. Not because you're afraid that you may lose. That's grudging. That's grudging. And here is the awful secret. When you give grudgingly, surprisingly, you lose more.
Mm-hmm.
Test that. Go ahead, test it. When you give grudgingly, unknown, things happen, you spend more money. And when you are called to do something good for somebody and prefer to do something else for yourself, you lose on blessing you are in desperate need for. God always make a way where there seem to be a way. But let every decision you make, using all the gifts God has given you, make sure it is carried in love and not in hypocrisy. Don't use your gift to manipulate, to subjugate, or to control other people, behavior or action. Don't do that. It's very, very harmful. But do it because you love God and you love his people. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. And that is a constant struggle, of course. When we have so many wonderful gifts, we'll always struggle. to use them in right and wrong way. But may the grace of Jesus and the love of the Father and the partnership, companionship, and power of the Holy Spirit always guide us to overcome evil and to do that which is good and right in the sight of God and in the sight of man. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let us stand together. Lord, we do fully thank you for calling us from the world of destruction, how we were so sick in the heart, and how you have taken us and cleansed us from the inside out, changed our heart and mind and body and soul. Even our love has changed, our will, our purpose on this earth. Thank you for the great many gifts of your Spirit that has been given to us. We love you, Lord, and we want to live a life of gratitude, a life of praise, and a life of worship of your holy name. And we want to use our lives and every gift giving us in true, genuine love to bless your work on this earth, to bless the work of the ministry, your church, to bless our lives and our families, to bless our neighbors and our communities, to bless our countries and all nations of the world as your Holy Spirit guide us unto all truth and show us that way of life more abundantly and life eternal. May you grant us your power and your strength to know and to do that blessed good and well pleasure of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.